This week on the Afro Beats podcast.
All of that. We're consuming it. We're wearing it. I mean, before they just came out with BPA plastic, what, two, three years ago? And that was basically plastic that won't leach into your food and into your drinks. Before that, I mean, since 1940 to 2020, you know what I mean? Like, we've been plasticking it up, okay?
What's up, y'all? It's your boy Christian back at it again with another episode of the Afro Beats podcast, the show where we interview dope guests of the African diaspora to share their perspective on soul and culture through the lens of food and the land. Today's special guest in the building will be discussing how the choices we make affect the planet we live on and impact our overall well-being. With the world getting warmer and the effects of our consumption habits beginning to compound, it's encouraging to know there are people like our next guest making moves to make a difference. Our next guest is the founder and curator of Swap DC, a pop-up event approach to creating recycling in Washington, D.C. that fosters a fun and diverse community around swapping for residents who want to reduce, reuse, and live a more sustainable lifestyle. Swap DC aims to bring awareness to the consequences of consumerism in our environment and our culture. Our guest is here to remind us that there's no planet B after this one, yo. This is all we got, so we got to make the best of it. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Zamaria.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy.
Watch this.
Give me a beat!
You're listening to the Afro Beats podcast, garden table content inspired by culture and soul.
Well, I'm a DC native, so I grew up seeing litter and trash all around me, unfortunately. And I contributed to, you know, once I got older, I contributed to the lack of trash cans that we had in the city. And when I would go to like recycling events and things like that, my late aunt, Robbie Rayford, she would take me to just like environmental events and things like that. Cause she would be like, hey, this is our planet. This is how, you know, we got to sustain it. She was very advocate. She was an advocate for me, especially growing up. And most of the events, we would be the only Black people. And I was like, this is wild to me. But then I would like go to my friend's house and see like trash, you know, a whole cabinet full of paper bags that people's moms had saved. And, you know, I would see how people were recycling in the home, but it wasn't shown out in public, really. And so I was like, I want to change that narrative in some way to show that we are a part of this recycling and environmental scene on a larger scale and not just when they need a photo op, you know, of Black people. So 2015, a friend of mine, we were talking and we were like, hey, let's do a home swap, you know, just like with us. Cause I was eyeing some of the stuff that she had. She was eyeing some of the stuff that I had. And so we were like, let's see, you know, what happened. So I invited about 12 people over. We had a small in-house swap. And it went really well. And then the next one I did outside and I told the people who I invited to like invite a guest. And so then we had like 20 something people and the feedback was really good. And so then I took it to and actually like got a place, you know, reserved a space in DC and was like, let's really do this. And it wasn't until I would say after like the third or fourth swap that I started really learning about the recycled fashion world and textile waste and how we were polluting the planet with fast fashion. I wasn't even aware, you know, I was still shopping at H&M and I was still shopping at Forever 21, you know, during that time. So once I really like learned some things, it's hard to ignore it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the beginning. That's kind of, you know, how this all got started.
Yeah. And were you always this, like, dope fashion person or was, like, Swap a catalyst for that? Like,
how nope, did you... I've always been this way.
You always been fly. Always been fly.
I I contribute that to, honestly, from being from DC. Like, we have our own little style. And growing up, my mom wasn't really strict with, like, what I wore. She was like, hey, if you can get yourself dressed and you're not out here butt-ass naked, then I'm going to pick my battles. And that's not a battle I'm going to fight with you on. So I appreciate her for allowing me to be creative and just, you know, do what I wanted to do with my clothing. So yeah, now I feel like, yeah, I stand out with what I wear because I'm like, hey, we only got one life. We'll be waiting for that one outfit for. Why?
Yeah. So what inspires you in the way you dress besides DC? Like, if you had to, I guess you don't even really fit in any box the way you style yourself, but like, what are you, you're in a tier on your own, but like, what inspires you? Like, how do you come up with these fits?
Well, one, I mean, I shop mostly at the thrift store now. So I think a lot of that is like the fashions that are available there, but also the swaps. Like, I've got some amazing pieces from the swaps and it's like, oh, I have to, you know, elevate this with something. So I try to usually choose a piece and then try to build on from there. Mm-hmm. And I also don't want to look like nobody. Mm-hmm. So I am very intentional with like, not going to the places that everybody shops and not wearing the same thing that everybody else has on, you know? Yeah, that's, I will say I attribute it to that, honestly. Yeah. And then it just depends on like where I'm going, how I'm feeling, you know, that sort of thing. I'm one of those people like on a rainy day, I'm going to wear a pop of color. I'm going to wear a neon or something just to brighten up the scene in a way, you know?
Yeah. What would you have to say for people who, because I know, you know, I was inspired by you to go to thrift shops more, just seek, you know, things that have already been worn. And like you said, there's really no need to like keep producing, you know, so many things. What would you say to people who are a little bit hesitant and like, oh, like these are like hand-me-downs, these don't have the same value as something new, they're old, they're raggedy. What would you say to people like that? And how would you kind of like correct them in that?
There are some pieces that I've gotten at the thrift store that are more valuable than anything I've ever gotten at a retail shop. Mm. I think we have to remember that clothing was tailored and made with quality items back in the day. And now it's mostly polyester, which, you know, it's not even good fabric. So I think if you can remember that, like, how things were made, I think then you will be inspired to be like, oh, I'd rather go to the thrift store than to go to the shop. Now, you may not find exactly what you're looking for, of course, that one time going in, opposed to going to a retail shop and seeing something on a mannequin and be like, okay, I'll take that, that, and that.
Yeah.
But the quality of clothing, I think, is so much better back in the day than what it is now. And the pieces you find, you're not going to find them at other places. You know what I mean? So you don't have to worry about somebody having the same shirt you have on when you go out if you find it at a thrift store. So I think if you're trying to, you know, set yourself apart and be fashionable in that way and stylish, then the thrift store is the way to go. If you're one of those people that doesn't really want to think about, like, what you put on or whatever, and you're one of those t-shirts and jeans, and of course, you know, you're going to go for the retail shops.
Yeah. So speaking on that, so if you're going, can you take us on like a little bit of a journey of like, you're going to like a flea market, a thrift shop, or, you know, one of your swaps, what's the strategy going in? Like, how are you thinking about like tackling that space? Because some of these like thrifts and flea markets are huge. Like, they have a ton of different things. So like, how do you think about it? Like, what do you do when you go into those spaces?
One, I'm never in a rush. You cannot be in a rush going into a thrift store or going into, you know, a flea market or anywhere, secondhand shop. Because you want to try things on if you can, like if they have a fitting area. I think that's very important. Also, you want to already kind of go with things that you know that you need. So I always start with my closet first. And then I see like, oh, I need a jean jacket, you know, or I need a white tee. I'm not even a white tee. I don't buy white tees. So let's stop there. I need a, you know, a white button down or something. Then I kind of want to know what I'm going for or have an idea of what I'm looking for before I go in, or else I'll spend way too much money.
Yeah.
Usually start with my closet, and then I'm like, okay, I just want a statement piece, and then I'll go in and look for those statement pieces. Of course, you know, along the way, you may find a pair of shorts or a skirt that's really cute, and you're like, oh my God, this is so cute. I don't want to leave without it, you know, that sort of thing. But I'm very frugal, especially even in the thrift store, because I'm one of those people, I'm like, oh, this is cute. It's only $3. And then you got 50 items that are $3 and it adds up, you know?
Yeah. I got you.
And yeah. I go when they have sales. So I usually go to the thrift store only on like Wednesdays when it's 50% off, or, you know, Tuesdays some have for 25% off. So I still go and try to get a deal on a deal, you know?
Yeah. Dang, I didn't even think about that. Yeah. If you go on like an off day, I might do that today.
Fridays are never a good day to go to thrift store. They usually have the colors, you know, by different like you can possibly get, you know, a percentage off depending on the colors.
Yeah, yeah.
But usually during the week is when you want to go to get the most. So Tuesday, I would say, so one of the tricks, Mondays after holiday, always 50% off at most thrift stores.
Okay.
You want to go early though, because a lot of people know that, and that's the days that the thrift stores are really packed. Some thrift stores are Tuesdays, you get 25% off. Others, like Unique Thrift, I believe, is 25% off on Thursdays if you're like a loyalty member. Mm-hmm. And then Salvation Army has 50% off on Wednesdays. I would love to see more Black-owned thrift stores, but it's a $1 billion business, and it's a lot of money that goes into it before you can even like create that, you know?
Yeah, talk on that. Like, what is the business behind these thrift stores? Because I'm not too familiar with it. Like, what does it take to build something like that? As much as you know, I'm just curious.
A lot of money. I mean, because you got to think about it. You have to have storage space. You have to have a warehouse of some sort. Everything that you bring in, you don't necessarily turn it right back around to sell it. So you need somewhere to store those items. And America has a lot of waste. So people, you know, kind of dump at these thrift stores, and then you need people to sort through them. And then you need some of the items, I think they like ship to other places. So there's a lot that goes into it and a lot of money. Which is why most organizations kind of start off as like the church organization, and then they kind of divert into, you know, the sustainable with the clothing.
Those church spots be hidden sometimes. You go to those little, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Salvation Army and I think Goodwood, they're very heavily like Christian, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I never thought about that. That's a good point. One thing I like about the swaps that you do is the community aspect of it, and just like being around people that are like-minded and like care about the environment. And it brings just so many different aspects to the swap experience, because you guys don't do just, you know, clothing. You also do books, you do vinyls, which I absolutely love. I've been fighting with a couple people. I had a couple vinyls that at the previous swaps, and I was like, you took that from me, but it's okay. It's all about respect. So
you know, you gotta be quick at the swaps.
You gotta be quick. People are about their business in there. But that community aspect is what interests me. Like, how do you consistently build like authentic community around these swaps?
I'm lucky, you know. I think it's me being genuine with the people that come, and I think they recognize that, and it's like, oh, I want to come back to something like this. We try to always have family-oriented swaps, so, you know, I enjoy seeing young ones grow over the years with swaps. I know one of the attendees before, like, the second swap we had, she came, she was pregnant. And now, like, her son is, like, 7. And it's just so cute, you know, to see over the years how it's becoming more of a in-home, like, idea. And people, it's not just this thing that is outside. It's like, oh, the kids are seeing swaps and they're like, oh, this is what we do, you know, instead of it being like, we don't have the money, so we have to go to swap or we have to thrift. It's not like that. It's more like we want to help save the planet. We want to recycle, you know, we want to be sustainable, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. How I keep the vibe and maintain the vibe, I think just comes with the people that come in, and I'm grateful for that. That's just a part of what we built. I wouldn't say it's like a part of our branding or anything, because it's not. It's literally just us being authentic, the swap team being able to convey to people like what we're doing, and then the people kind of come. Mm-hmm. This is a part of like the environmental revolution, and you can't do it without the people, you know?
Yeah. It does sound like a lot of the promotion for these events is word of mouth. Is there any other like tips or things that have worked for you as far as like promotion?
Having a website works, you know, it definitely is. It's good for those people that aren't believers in a way, mm-hmm. you know, they need to see the proof and the pudding, that sort of thing. And they're like, oh, I wasn't able to go to a swap, but what's swap all about? And I'm like, check the website. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think they're able to see from there and read more, and they're like, oh, okay, you've been doing this. Oh, okay. This is cool, you know, that sort of thing. I think I was very aware early on that I didn't want to be preachy with the message of recycling, of being sustainable. I didn't want to tell people you shouldn't do this, this, and this. You need to do this. I want it to be more of, hey, come join us for this party, this recycling party. We have music, we got food, and we're swapping, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I always wanted it to be sort of a fun activity. I think people learn more and are more receptive when they're enjoying their time and when they're in a joyous environment.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think a lot of those events can be preachy, but it just feels very comfortable and like an enjoyable experience. But the fact is, like, there is some real like consequences to our like consumer behavior. Like, what are some of those consequences, and why is this work so important to you?
The consequences are everywhere. I mean, from they say what every day, like, it's crazy, over like 100 or some species dies because of the global warming that's happening. The consequences of, you know, I just feel like it's so many. I'm like, dang, but I will say one. So like, we didn't really have a freeze over winter this year. So it didn't really, like, we had a few snow days, but we didn't really have like that winter. Mm-hmm. So the consequence will be pollen. It'll be a lot more pollen this year. A lot of people's allergies are going to be, you know, very irritant to them because of that. I see you smiling over there. I guess that's
living. Yeah, because of the pollen.
This year I will say we'll see effects like that. It's like small little things that over years will be drastic. It's just sad, and it's like because we're in America, we kind of live in this bubble that we don't get to see the effects as drastic as they are. But in other countries, they don't even have like clean water. I mean, shit, in Flint, Michigan, we don't have clean water, you know? Yeah. Yeah. In other countries, like, it's affected their birth rate, like of how they have children. Did you know, and this is all over, but since the introduction of plastic, which was in the 1940s, male, and there may be another way to say this, but I'm gonna just say it, male sperm count has gone down at least 30-40%. So things like that, like, I don't even think that we've seen the totality of the effects that what's really happening. Fossil fuel, you know, things like that. It's like, it's everywhere.
Yeah. Ugh. Man, that's wild. Do you know what the correlation between that is? Like the plant is just like, are we like, how are we consuming it? Or are we wearing it? Like,
it's all of that. We're consuming it. We're wearing it. I mean, before they just came out with BPA plastic, what, two, three years ago. And that was basically plastic that won't leach into your food and into your drinks. Before that, I mean, since 1940 to 2020, you know what I mean? Like, we've been plasticking it up, okay?
Yeah. Dang. So what are some solutions? What are some things people can do at home to reduce textile waste, to reduce the plastics that they're using in their lives?
Definitely to reduce textile waste is to not buy new. To just buy recycled items secondhand, swap with your neighbors, swap with your family, swap with your friends. If you do buy something, shop small, you know, that sort of thing. I will say that's for textile. As far as like for the planet, overall, reducing your waste overall. Like, I think a lot of people don't realize that when you throw things away, it doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. It actually is like, what's the word? It's, what is it when you, it's compressed into like some sort of something they wrap up and then they ship it somewhere. Mm-hmm. They don't, I mean, cause you can't burn it because of, the laws and everything like that. But it's like, there is no way. So even just like reducing your waste, if you're one of those people that instead of going to get a new hand soap bottle every time, get the refillable bottle. You know, little things like that. Take your water bottle with you. If you drink coffee every day or if you're going to a coffee shop every day, take a little mug with you. Like, you know, doing things like that that you're not using excess. And I understand it's convenience. A lot of time it's very much convenience for people. But we're inconveniencing the planet.
Yeah. And that's super important. And I mean, it's coming right back to us. We're feeling it every day. It's like you said, it's the pollen, it's the weather changing, it's all of that.
It's in our food. Like, it's all of that. And then just stop littering, Mo. Like, I just wish people would. I really don't understand it, but I think it's just people don't know the effects of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You heard that, Mo. That was for some specific people.
You know what it is?
Yeah, I know what it is. So what's the good news? What is inspiring you these days? Because I see you doing a bunch of things. So you do a lot of stuff outside of SWAT DC as well. Like, you're also a DJ. I know you're traveling. You know, what is inspiring you? Well, first, what is inspiring you in like fashion right now? Like, what people are doing with like more sustainable resources? Is there anything coming up down the line that you're like excited about? Like, one thing I think it's cool, and I don't know if this is as sustainable, but like, I found this wallet that they make out of like cactus or something like that. I don't know if that's the best for the planet or whatever, but you know, what are some things that are new and that are exciting to you?
Things like that. Leather cactus is like amazing to me. Seeing how people are creating items out of not nothing, but out of the natural items that already grow and already are here. I love to see things like that. Even with the plastic, I think, you know, saying recycled plastic and what people are doing with that, I enjoy seeing. And as far as like locally, I love seeing the seamstress and the different tailors and creators what they're making now. So I know a few like people that come to mind as far as like denim couture, what she's doing with the jeans and things like that. You know, she's like 17, or, you know, she's a young girl from DC who's doing her thing. Like, I love to see things like that. Upcycling fashion, I love to see things like that. There are a few more, you know, designers, that's what I'm the word I'm looking for. There are a few more designers that I think of and I'm like, I want to see more of that. I want people to really get into their bag and show the world like their creations, you know, from recycled items and from upcycling. I think that could really be the wave of where we're going, as long as we kind of support the people that are doing it, but also make it a cool thing again. You know, make it cool to have on an upcycle piece and to still rock a piece that you've had for 10 plus years, you know, by taking care of it and things like that. I think I would like to see more of that instead of always the quote unquote new trends and people just buying from Shein and all these places that are polluting our planet.
Yeah. I'm curious what you think about like the cultural element of clothes and how that plays into kind of like reusing clothing. Cause I think about that a lot. Like, you know, I had my dad used to have like some dope clothes and stuff like that. I'm like, man, I really wish I like kept some of that around and like tailored and stuff like that. Like, how do you think about the importance of clothing from like a cultural lens?
I think it depends. It definitely depends on your culture. I can only speak for, you know, mostly African Americans because that's what I identify as. And for us, we love to look fly. Like, we, hands down, we're going to make sure that, you know, Sunday's best. And if it's somebody's party, we come in looking like the best thing since sliced bread, you know, that sort of thing. I just wish that we could do it in a, at a sustainable way, so we're not always having to go out and buy quote unquote new. I think if we can really think about what fashion is and how we can still be fly but be sustainable, I think we could do so much because we're so creative, you know? Yeah, I think I will say, especially in DC, like being fly is a really big thing. From your shoe game to, you know, your watch game to what hats you got on, you know, all of that can open some doors for you. Unfortunately, that is like, people are very visual people. But I think we can still be fly and recycle and use, you know, upcycling and do creative recycling and, you know, all those things. Yeah. Yeah. I just wish I think if we just get out of that mindset that it has to be new to be fresh, because it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can't buy style.
You cannot buy style. No. Yeah. It's not on you. It's in you. Okay. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Speaking of that, I've seen you, you've been traveling in style lately, right? You've been going to some different places. Were you in Paris, UK? Where were you at recently?
Yeah. I went out to the UK, to the London blokes.
Yeah, yeah. What was it like out there? What did you learn from that experience? And like, what were you doing? Like, talk about a little bit about your music passions as well. Like, I'm just curious to dive in more into that.
Yeah, so DJing has been a blessing for me because I feel like music has become a part of my therapy. Mm-hmm. And so I'm now getting more into producing. And that trip I was booked for a gig at for a museum. And what did I learn? I learned so much, but mostly that we got the same issues here that they got over there, you know, like from talking to the people and all of that. Like, they have this idea of Americans, of course, but they're dealing with a lot of the same issues as far as prices of everything going up, you know, people basically starving so that they can pay rent, you know, things like that. I was sort of shocked because I was like, oh, you know, the pound is up. Like, y'all got it. Like, y'all living life, you know, that sort of thing. But talking to the people, I realized that that's not the case. They're struggling the same way we are struggling here. The music scene, they love American music. The music scene was so interesting. I was like, oh, I'm going to go find some new music and I'm going to be put on to some new people. And no, it was kind of the same. Paris, I visited for the weekend. I'm good on Paris. I don't have to go back.
Wait, can we talk about Paris for a second? Is it overhyped or like what happened there?
It's so overhyped. I think it's because of the movies. The movies and like TV shows, they overhype it. And so we think that that's it, you know? It's like, yeah, it was very loverish, I will say. Like, I mean, as soon as I got there, I'm one of those people, I want to be with the locals. So I took the bus to my Airbnb. Mm-hmm. And on the bus, like, I seen two couples, like, tonguing it down. You know what I mean? So it was very, like, lover-ish in that way. Yeah. But it was stinky. Like, as soon as I got, I was like, what the fuck is that smell? Like, it just was, like, stinky, dirty. They're very, I will say, I didn't know this, but other people have, like, yeah, you didn't know that? Like, the French people, a lot of the French people were very aggressive in ways. Mm-hmm. That just, I didn't know. So, yeah. I mean, overall, like I said, it was a great trip. I had some good food while I was out there, but it wasn't like I need to come back here. The museums were beautiful, though. Now, yeah. That was one of the things I was like, okay, I get it. Like the sculptures and the paintings and all of that. Seeing Mona Lisa's painting, how small it is, like in person, it's like, oh, okay. Like I said, I just think it's everything else. A lot of things were very much like in the movies, you just have this idea, you know? You're like, oh, when I get there, it's gonna be like rainbows and, you know, croissants everywhere, and the smell of fresh bakery, and you know, the Eiffel Tower, and yeah, nah, it was definitely still, it was a lot of homeless people. I was shocked to see that. Yeah, it was dirty. It was like, I was like, okay, DC in Paris.
Yeah. DC is actually one of the cleaner cities, actually, surprisingly.
Like, it depends on where you go.
Yeah, that's also true.
Unfortunately, yeah. The South Side, certain places on the South Side are still like, you know, it's just trash everywhere. I think it's because of the resources. Like, unfortunately, they don't have Southwest Bid on that side that's walking around with trash cans and picking up. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Could you talk, a little bit more about that, about the underinvestment of some communities and the kind of like environmental racism around that? Because I don't think people even know that that's part of the equation, is like how they structure certain neighborhoods and how that impacts people as a whole.
It's very systemic on a larger scale. And the underrepresented are usually the ones that suffer, you know, the most from the lack of resources, from the lack of funding. Environmental racism is a huge thing that a lot of people don't talk about, because it's daunting. It's one of those things that once you start getting into it and you're reading about it, you're like, fuck, well, like, where is this, like, where is the savior? Where is the solution, in a way? Most factories are in lower income neighborhoods. So it's very much systemic, you know? And especially, well, I would say in DC, cause that's kind of what I know. The lack of funding, because the people who are in the positions don't value, I think, the lives of the people who they're supposed to be representing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all I'm gonna say about that. I want the people who are listening to just Google environmental racism and just learn a little bit more about, you know, that. I mean, I will say natural disasters happen, yes, but a lot of things can be prevented if there were people who were proactive. You know, think about Katrina. Yeah. You know, that was in the Ninth Ward, and where the levees broke. Mm-hmm. Mostly Black people.
Yeah.
So
and then that system, when it crumbles, they get hit the most.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, even in DC, like, a lot of people don't own their homes anymore because grandma's taxes went up and people couldn't afford the tax, you know, that tax bill. And so they literally took people's homes right up under them. And that's just a lack of knowledge, you know. But I wouldn't say that's environmental racism, but it's racism on another level, you know.
Yeah.
One of the isms.
Yeah. Wow. Speaking of knowledge, like, can you give us a little bit more on, like, how do we build, like, environmental literacy? Like, how do people continue to stay educated and continue to build their communities? Because at the end of the day, unfortunately, we can't rely on, you know, the system to kind of come and support. So how do we work inside out, you know, and start impacting our communities that way?
I think it starts with just coming together with your community. You know, we throw that word around a lot, community. Mm-hmm. But what exactly is your community? And building on that. So some people say, you know, your community where you live is like the 5 mile radius. That's considered your community. Some people are like, you know, if you're a college student and your major is this, that's your community. So I think you have to really define community for yourself and then gather with those people. Internet is great, you know, Instagram, social media, all of that is great, but there's more power when you actually gather with people and you brainstorm and you can see someone's eyes, you know, as you're talking to them and feel like their emotions or lack of emotions. And I think just building on that, I'm not going to say like you need to meet with your community every week. No, mm-hmm. But you at least need to have conversations. And so opening up that dialogue to know that, hey, there's a new building, you know, they're about to build and their infrastructure will be this, this, and this. Like to even know those things, I think is important. Mm-hmm. So just being active, you know, in DC, we have, what is it? ANC is really big. And so participating in those meetings, like knowing where's the money going for those speed cameras that are in your neighborhood? Like you should know about that. Knowing that, you know, it's just so many things that I'm like, you know, you living life is hard enough, but you really have to be involved with your community to learn more, I think. So it's hard to learn more if you're just reading the newsletter. Like you kind of have to be involved. So I suggest to counter environmental racism and to learn more about environmental literacy is just by participating.
Got it. Yeah, there's a lot going on. I think it's, like you said, situational awareness, environmental awareness, like start with where you're at. So
mm-hmm,
I think
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, so what's next for Swap DC? Where are you going to be at in 5 years?
Whoa, 5 years. I was thinking
that's a long time. Where are we going to be at the end of the year?
At the end of the year, I hope to be resting, okay? Yeah. So we're moving to a more one, by the end of this year, I plan on having all of our things in place for our 501(c)(3) so that people can actually write off their donations. That is what we're working on. Yeah, that's like the top of the list. To build out our outreach, that's also big on our list. So tell a friend to tell a friend about Swap DC and what we're doing. Come out to our events. We need the support. And to really build out our Swap Youth Initiative, that's another thing that we've been working on for some years. Well, since last year. We would like to build out our SWAP initiative, and that will be partnering with different after-school programs or even different high schools. So I hope that that is in the works by the end of this year.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's where that magic is, because a lot of them are making clothes anyway. I can't tell you how many high schoolers say, I want to make a clothing brand, I want to do this, I want that. Like, they're going to be the future for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Important. Yeah, I love that. Okay. So where can people find you? What events do you got coming up? What's your socials, all that good stuff?
We are Swap DC on all platforms. That's SWAPDC. That's Instagram, Facebook. Visit our website at www.swapdc.com. La la la, where else? And find out about our upcoming events at our upcoming events on our website. And next we have our April. So April is Earth Month. So we're booked and busy. This upcoming Wednesday, we will be at the National Museum of Women in the Arts. We're doing their museum nights, which is for Earth Month. So that'll be like a little mixer that we'll have. And that's basically spotlighting other recycled brands and upcycling brands, sustainable brands. So we'll have a few, you know, sustainable brands and sustainable like fashionistas in the building. So I'm looking forward to that. That's on Wednesday from 5:30 to 8. That's a ticketed event. We sold out in literally 2 hours, over 400 tickets. So I'm excited about that. Next, we have April 20th, which will be our Earth Day swap. That will be at Anacostia Community Museum. The event is from 10 to 5, but we'll be doing the swap from 1 to 4. So you can drop off your items starting at 10 a.m. until about 12:45, and then we'll start the swap at 1 o'clock. So we'll be out there on the south side for that. And then the 27th, we'll be partnering with Dreaming Out Loud, and we'll be doing their Spring Fest. At Kelly Miller Farm, and we'll be out there from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm definitely going to at least two of those. So I'm going to see if I can go to a third one, because I love Anacostia Community Museum. It's like one of my favorite museums in the city. So
awesome. Yeah, I'm excited about that one because that museum is a seasonal museum, so they're not open all year long. And so I'm excited to see the new exhibit that they have in there.
Perfect. Well, we'll put all that in the show notes. And I want to end the conversation today with my final question. I ask all my guests this, and that is, what does it mean for you to be a part of the African diaspora?
It's priceless to be melanated. Is an honor. What does it mean to me, though? Let's see. It means that I'm a part, and I was born into something that should be celebrated, but unfortunately, because of society and people knowing how much power we hold, that we are degraded and abused for being who we are. But it really shows our resilience. So I will say it means so much because of the struggle, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's even more precious. It's even more beautiful.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm one of those people call me optimistic, like, yeah, all day. And I think that's a part of who I am and what I was born into and how I was raised and all of that. So that's a part of the African diaspora. I was raised, I went to an African Learning Center. I don't know if you knew about the African Learning Center so I went to Roots for like 3 years when I was a baby. That was kindergarten and first grade and all that. And Roots was, is also an African, centric, Pan-Africans, centric elementary and, early daycare, sort of. That's over there on Kennedy Street. Mm-hmm. That was created by Mama Bernita. And then we traveled. I went to Kentucky, and then I came back. And then I went to an African Learning Center. And that's where we learned Swahili. We had to do the African-American what is the Pledge of Allegiance, but it was the African one. We had to do that every day. We had to wear, we basically wore African garb to school, like that sort of thing. So it's sort of in me, you know, that's where how I was raised. Yeah. And then I went to Duke Ellington, and so that's pretty black right there too.
Ah, no wonder you drift out. I'm about to have, if we had more time, I would ask you a bunch more questions. We're going to have to do this again because that just opened up a whole other box where I got 10 other questions that just came out of that. But it's all good. Yeah. Okay. I like that. I like that. Zamira, thanks so much for coming on today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Christian. I really appreciate you taking the time to interview me today and for your continuous support with Swap DC. We really appreciate it.
Of course. Of course. Anytime. I got you.
Well, that's it for today, y'all. That's it. That's a wrap. So go ahead and go to iTunes. You know, give your boy 5 stars. Throw a little comment in there. We're trying to get better each and every week. So if you're feeling your boy, go ahead and take care of that. Share this podcast with your fellow foodies and gardeners, and I'll talk to y'all next week. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. And remember, keep moving to the beat of your own drum. Talk to you later, fam. Peace.